Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 30th, 2022. It is Season 16, Episode 25. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. If you would like to, you can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can also find us as well on Facebook that way. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch. You can go to twitch.tv, type in In-Game Chat, and you'll be able to find us and watch us. Why you would want to, I have no idea. But you can keep us on in the background while you do other stuff. Of course, you can stream us and do that too if you'd like to. You can also join the chat room. That's probably more entertaining. That, or you can join us on Discord, which we've got Discord set up over here, so we can take your I was going to say calls, but they're not really calls. But whatever, you can join in the chat room and talk to us live on the air as we broadcast. So why not give it a shot and do that? So I was going to say, oh, yeah, you just got to do this. A little scatterbrained. I'll tell you why in a minute. There you go. Yeah, I tell you why, because I only got into the studio maybe 30 minutes ago. Not even 30 minutes ago. Just a little less than 30 minutes ago, I got into the studio, got everything set up, because the studio does not look like this during the week. It's, 6 days out of the week, studio looks different. It doesn't have keyboards and mouse and a laptop plugged in and cameras set up and all this stuff going on. All of that has to be done, before we go on the air the day of. Usually I have enough time. Didn't really work out my time so well. My time management is not really good today. Mm. Tell you what I was doing. I had a steelbook I had to go pick up from Best Buy. Mm. Because I really stopped the... Batman Brian has a question. Are you saying the address everyone at In-Game Chat goes out to everyone involved with the show? Yes. If you send an email to everyone at ingamechat.net, then I will get it. RJ will get it. Everybody who's... I think Jeremy still has an email address and James and Matt. Everybody will get that if you send it there. So we'll all... Yeah. We'll all know. We'll all get it. It was a way to keep us all into the show. You can send it to me if you want to. It's Scott at InGameChat.net, RJ at InGameChat.net. We've got our own, but sending it to everyone, we'll get it there. So anyway, I don't really do the Steelbook stuff anymore, with the exception of the DC animated films that they do.
Right, right.
That's the only one I got. That and Mondo are the only two that I'm really kind of keeping... Tabs
I thought
on.
You did Mondo for the LPs, for soundtracks.
No. I mean, I do from occasionally. Depends mm-hmm. on what they release. But Mondo numbered their steelbooks.
Oh, okay.
Which really hurt me.
Well, yeah. That gives it the collectability.
Yeah.
Is it the, you got the slash in there too? Like number 6 out of 5,000, something like that?
No. Okay. No, they don't do that. If they do, then they would. But no. They numbered them as in, like... This is our 15th release. This is our 16th release. This is our 17th release.
Oh, like limited run games do.
Yeah. And like so that, there's yeah. like your Funko Pops have numbers on them, on right. the boxes. And mm-hmm. so on the Steelbook for Mondo, there is 01, 02, all the way up to ever how many they've got now.
Mm-hmm.
And they even have a 00. Yeah, I know. Which I've got that one too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so once they put numbers on them, it's saying, oh, I can't miss a release. Then I've got a gap in my numbering system. And that's not good for my OCD.
No, it's not. So, 17, 18, skip one, 20.
21, yeah. Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, I keep up with the Mondo stuff. But then outside of that is the DC animated films, and Green Lantern just had one released.
Mm-hmm.
And so that came out in this was past Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So I had that ordered at Best Buy, went and picked it up. Not only that, I stopped by both Targets, the one where I live and the one here in Montgomery, checking out their checking to see if they had their Halloween stuff out, which they don't. Mm-hmm. Currently, it's their back to school stuff. By the way, if anybody's looking for Halloween stuff, Big Lots has theirs out, so it's there. So if you're looking for Halloween stuff, and apparently they're getting more in on Wednesday for Halloween things. The most unexpected place that I found Halloween decorations from is the Cracker Barrel.
No.
Yeah.
Not surprising.
It's
a country store.
I know, but it's July still. Mm-hmm. So I didn't expect it that early.
Well, look, a lot of retailers do the same thing. If one store does something early, someone's going to get wind of it, and they do the same thing. Yeah, well, so.
Yeah, anyway. Outside of that, I was stopping by Target for their Legos.
Mm-hmm.
The one here in Montgomery, not a bad selection. They had things that the one in Prattville didn't. In fact, I picked up the succulents from the botanical collection.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the succulents from the one here. The one in Prattville has the bouquet, the orchid, and the bird of paradise. So a lot more. The one in Prattville has the Space Shuttle Discovery. Mm-hmm. The one in Prattville has the Mario question block. So there's a lot that Prattville has that Montgomery does not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll be going back to Prattville. Well, obviously I'm going back to Prattville. But when I go back home this evening, I'm going to stop by and take a look again at the stuff and maybe pick something up. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've also got the Pyramid of Giza there as well, which is like on the bottom shelf, way in the back.
Oh, yeah.
And only one. I bent down to get a picture of, what was it I was looking at?
Is this the same as the Architectural Wonders thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they have Taj Mahal.
Did they still do Frank Lloyd Webber's
his
house? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, the waterfall or whatever it's called, flowing water, something like that.
Yeah. That house he designed.
That is not, I haven't seen it, but it is available.
Okay, yeah.
They do have that as well, so. Yeah, Bama Bryan's saying that the Dollar General has candy out. Sam's has candy out already, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've just been looking for Lego stuff, seeing what's out there available. Mm-hmm. Price increase on some Lego sets happens on August the 1st. Lego is raising prices on almost all sets. Will get mm-hmm. a price increase, and it varies
mm-hmm.
Into what the price increase is going to be. The DeLorean that I bought for $160 is going up to $200 beginning August 1st.
Mm-hmm. So basically, if you're on the fence about a Lego set. Do it now.
Yeah, most stores have already kind of bumped that up, which kind of sucks.
Yeah.
It's they've already kind of bumped up those prices on some of those. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they are going up. Also, August 1st is when they release new sets. The Atari 2600 gets released,
mm-hmm.
or at least goes up for pre-order on August the 1st. And there's some other sets that are going to go live. There's a lot of them that are Star Wars based and Marvel based and those things, and I'm not really down for those.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, you ended the succulents line, right?
The botanical plants, stuff. Yeah. I put together the orchid, which I really, really enjoyed.
So, what was the difficulty on that one?
The orchid?
Yeah.
I don't know. It took me 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I thought the Lego sets had this little, range of difficulty or something.
They may.
On top or something like that.
Yeah, they may. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I mean, they talk about difficulty, but you get a booklet that really, really lays out how to build the thing.
Right.
Very, very step-by-step hold your hand through it.
Yeah.
So
See, it's been a long time since I've dealt with Legos, but
yeah.
Going off of memory, I thought there was something on the box that said, it told you about the difficulty and
I think there is.
Range for it.
I've never really paid attention to it, but yeah. I think there is.
Okay.
What was the other one? It wasn't. When I built younger,
mm-hmm.
I can remember building a castle with my dad, and he probably built most of it. It had a drawbridge and all this other stuff. I have no idea where that is, but it was a long, long time ago. And then later on, I remember building a couple of Batmobiles and getting very frustrated building them. And kind of set aside from doing any of that stuff ever again. I was just like, nah, if it's this frustrating, I don't really want to mess with it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then Lego released the 1989 Batman film Batmobile.
Mm-hmm.
Big thing. And I was really into that. And so, actually, no, it wasn't that. It was the Saturn V or the Saturn V rocket
mm-hmm.
for NASA for the Apollo mission.
Yeah.
That's the one that got me back into it.
Mm.
Once they released that and they had this whole, like, NASA space thing going on,
mm-hmm.
where they did that, the ISS... they did the Discovery that we talked about. I think they did another one too. I want to say they did a version of the Lunar Lander. So once they did that, I really got back into it. And then the Batmobile came and I was really into that. And then I picked up these orchids the other day and ordered those and they came in. I built them and I was like, that's nice. So I started really looking into these things and now I'm kind of getting hooked on some Lego stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From steelbooks to Legos. Yep.
Basically, I don't do the steelbooks anymore. The pandemic killed my steelbooks.
Yeah.
It really honestly did because movies stopped releasing.
Mm-hmm.
And they started releasing at home. And I started getting the point of, why am I buying this stuff? I can watch it at home now. I don't have to. It's going to be on my subscription service. I don't need to, whatever. Yeah. So
for some folks was like, why would I buy this at home? That Mulan disaster comes to mind.
I don't know that
30
one.
Bucks.
Oh.
Regardless of your subscriber or not.
Yeah. No. I'll wait until it's so I don't have to. Yeah, So I've stopped with the steelbooks for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And moved on to Legos. I still will not touch a Funko Pop to save my life.
Mm-hmm.
I will not fall into what I consider a money pit, yet here I am looking at Legos that cost $200.
Mm-hmm.
not going to do it. Not going to do it. It's got to be an extremely, and I don't mean limited as in like, there's only five of these, so you need to get them. I'm talking limited in the scope. Like, I can't think of anything at the moment. But like, if there's only a set, you know, like Back to the Future.
Okay.
They'll have Doc and Marty. And then they'll have the DeLorean. If that's all they do, that's mm-hmm. good. But if they expand it and get like, oh, here's Marty from 55. Here's Marty from 85. Here's Marty from 2015. Here's Marty's family. Here's Brown from 55. Brown from 1885. Here's the three different DeLoreans. Here's all this other stuff. No.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. So I'm lucky enough that nobody has gotten me any Funko Pops for like birthday or Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got me a couple of Pac-Mans for something. I can't remember if it was Christmas or birthday.
Mm.
They got me three ghosts. And so I looked into that and I said, well, how far did they bust out this Pac-Man line? They didn't very much. I think they have four ghosts and a Pac-Man, and maybe a Miss Pac-Man. I don't think they have a Miss mm-hmm. Pac-Man.
I was about to say, your OCD was about to kick up again. The three out of three ghosts. There's always been four.
Yeah, I know.
Where's the fourth one?
But I think that's it, though. I think it's like Pac-Man and four ghosts, and I think that's it. Unless, I haven't looked at it recently, because I have no idea where those pops went.
I can't imagine Funko wouldn't have a Miss Pac-Man, because Miss Pac-Man is kind of popular in and of itself. So
I agree, and if they did, it's probably... Because there's some kind of rights issue going on with Ms. Pac-Man right now.
Yeah, game-wise, there is.
As far as the game-wise, I have no idea on the pop-wise type of things.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a video game show, and I'm here talking... Well, I'm talking about games, but I'm talking about collectible types.
Pac-Man, close enough.
Yeah.
And apparently there is.
There is a Ms. Pac-Man?
Funko Pop games, Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man. Yeah.
How many is in the Pac-Man collection? Do you have that up?
Just pulled up Ms. Pac-Man, so I just saw her. So let's see.
Let's see.
Pac-Man collection.
You know who owns Mondo now? Funko bought Mondo.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, there we go. Oh, okay. There's the very. I see the variation of Ghost already. Power Pellet mode and not Power Pellet.
Right.
I see that one.
I see. Okay. So yeah. There we go. So there's the Ghost.
Okay, I think I got it.
There we go. I see.
Yeah,
I see what we got.
Yeah, we got it.
What are we looking at here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's seven.
Seven, yeah.
There's seven of them.
Yeah.
Why does Pac-Man look like he's giving the finger? Oh, no, it's a thumbs up.
Where's your mind at, man?
I don't know. It looks from this little small image. I'm like, why would Pac-Man be throwing the bird? But it's a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all there is with the Pac-Mans. Seven of them, I'm fine. That's fine. Don't expand. I hope. But I also haven't picked up any of those. I have no idea which ones I have, but I haven't picked up any others. And I don't know where those are to even get them. And they're probably all out of stock, and I don't need to worry about it. So, yeah. Never been big on the Funko Pops. I'm also really glad that things like... You remember the... It was Toys and Games, or Toys and Gaming, and I can't remember what it's called now. I see Mung Beans is in the chat room there. I don't know if he wants me to go to him or not. I'm forgetting what it was called. Disney did it, and Lego did it for a minute, where you had the toy, and then you would put it on. It was Spyro did it, the Sky Raiders, or whatever it was. You would buy the toy, and then you would put the toy on a reader that was plugged into your system, and then the toy would be playable in your game.
So something like those Amiibo things?
Yeah, basically. It was like the Amiibos.
So basically, before Amiibos, there was this thing.
And Disney did it.
Yeah.
Disney did it.
Infinity?
Disney Infinity. That's what it was. Thank you. God. I'm really glad they stopped that, because I was getting into an area there that I didn't want to get into by picking up some of those.
Too many characters.
There was a lot.
Too many.
And I was grabbing anything that appealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were hard. Sometimes they were hard to get. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I was also doing it with the Amiibos early on.
Same thing. A whole bunch of characters that do select from. So yeah.
Yeah. Early on, I was doing that with the Amiibos. Got some good ones there that I don't think you can get anymore, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't doing it for collecting issues. I was doing it because, ooh, I like that character. And then it turns out, oh, it's a collection issue. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones because we've wasted enough time already. Hi, you're on In-Game Chat. Who's this?
This is me, Chris.
What's up, bud?
Feeling a whole lot better and glad that the storms that just showed up all of a sudden, that the new game I've been playing is on the Switch, so I can still game without everything being plugged up.
Nice. What are you playing?
The new Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
Of course. Of course you are. How are you liking it?
I'm loving it so far.
Good.
And it picked up at the right moment where I finished up that last Metro Exodus game a couple of days ago. And so that was a good turn point to start in something new. And I've been wanting to get into this one since I had it reserved. So, yeah, good deal.
Well, that's great, man. And I'm glad you're feeling better, too. I'm glad that stuff's over. Are you still tired? You still feeling exhausted, you know?
Oh, no. I mean, I wasn't tired at all. I mean, basically, it kind of felt like a severe allergy reaction.
Yeah,
I was feeling better like Sunday and Monday, you know, around Sunday afternoon. But, of course, we had to stay indoors and stay away from everybody else, stay under quarantine. But, you know, like I couldn't go back to work till Thursday and everything. So I was like, well, might as well just take it easy and just take it and relax and have fun. And just take plenty of naps and just do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good then.
Mm-hmm. So what was your favorite aspect of Xenoblade Chronicles, Chris?
I don't know anything about that game, so feel free to ask them the questions, because I know nothing about
the new one I've been playing.
Yeah,
I guess it's the storyline, and that, like, there's a humongous world that you're exploring, and there's kind of different enemies that are your level, and then there's other ones like 50, you know, level 50 or 60 times, you know, way, way above there. Like, you take a look at them, they're gigantic, like, oh, yeah, I definitely need to stay away from them. They're going to take me out and with the look of their eye.
Yeah, it's like similar to what... Elden Ring was teaching you. It's like there are some areas you shouldn't go to, and it'll let you know real quick you need to get out of there. So Xenoblade does the same thing for you, huh?
Well, especially since it's so easy that all the enemies have levels indicators above their names, you know, they're above their icon and everything. So, like, if I'm level 15 and I run, you know, maybe a level 20 enemy might give me a little difficulty, but if I see a level 50, nope, not going this way, stay away from him, and then, you know, and just, nope, run, you know, I can't fight that sucker.
Yeah, at least you got numbers to let you know. Other game, Elden Ring, I was talking about this, the From series. It's like, you don't know until you get hit. Can you take a hit or not? So when you get killed in one shot, you know you're not supposed to go there. Now, is the game a traditional, is it action RPG or
it's
traditional
kinda,
style?
It's kind of like a mix where it's kind of like a tactics one and an action adventure one all combined. It's weird. It's not a straight up action one where you have basically all your party members are controlled by the AI. And
right.
You have different moves, you know, like this one will stagger an enemy. You know, it's basically just you time your different special attacks that you can do and just, you know, it's timing and things like that kind of strategy, role-playing type. It's kind of unique.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You don't have to play any of the other previous ones to understand kind of what's going on. It's the story and everything is pretty much set up from the beginning. So there's demos out there. You can get in there and kind of see what the gameplay is like and realize if you like it or not. And then see if the story will pull you in.
Yeah, because I think we were talking about a while back about how the JRPG style of gameplay, I've given it a shot, but I just could not get around it. When the fight's going on, when I hit a button, I want something to happen right then and there, not wait and strategize. But then I haven't seen that type of format in a very long time. But there's bits and pieces of it in this one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Chris, we want to thank you for calling. We got to run because we got two other calls to get to, and we're about to hit a break here. So,
all right.
We really appreciate you calling in. I'm so glad you're feeling better, dude. Thank you.
Yeah, me and my dad both, too, as well. So we'll see y'all later, and y'all enjoy the rain if you're getting it in your area.
All right, man. Take care.
Yeah. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
All right, let's talk to Steve, I think it was. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing today?
What's going on, man?
Just had a couple of little bits of the things. If you're coming up to Prattville to look for Legos, might as well make the trip on over to Millbrook because they've got a pretty good selection over there.
Where? Does Millbrook have a Target?
Oh, no, the Walmart.
Oh, see, I hit our Walmart in Prattville and it was not good.
the one in Millbrook's got a pretty good selection, depending on what you're looking for. They got a big selection of Star Wars, and then they got the other stuff, too. And another thing to look for is in the toy section, look for the clearance aisle, because I go mainly for my grandbabies, but I picked up like a $60, you know, a basic box to put more in for them to play with, and
yeah.
I got it for like $14 because they had a dent on it, but everything was fine.
Yeah, I've looked at there's a subreddit for Lego deals, and it said, you know, Walmart clearance stuff, and I looked at ours and there was nothing there, but I've heard there's some of that botanical stuff was actually on clearance there.
Yeah, I got the 1966 Batmobile.
That's right.
I got it for myself. I got it for like $14, I think.
I know. I saw that. I didn't know they had done that, but I did see that in the past couple of days that was out there. So, yeah.
I did have to get that for myself, and I got it up on my shelf now.
Ain't nothing wrong with that at all. Not at all, Steve.
And like I said, I feel your pain when you're talking about the Intellivision and the Skylanders. They had all those.
Right.
Little characters.
Yep.
And I am an obsessive collector. So when I got them for the grandbabies to play Skylander and Giant, I wound up having to get every single character before I could end it.
Jeez. I know.
I had to go online to get the what was it? The little skeleton dude. Shoot.
I'm not sure what I'm talking about, but yeah, I can understand. I know they're hard to find ones.
Yeah, I said I had to go up there to get the last couple. I got every single one for the first Skylander and the Giant. So yeah, I had to cut myself off from those after that.
It's hard. It can be hard sometimes. I was kind of grateful that the pandemic came. Well, not grateful for the pandemic, but I'm glad something kind of got in the way of my Steelbook stuff, because I don't know how that was going to end. And it took something like that, so yeah, to stop it. But hey, thanks for the heads up on the Walmart in Millbrook, and I'll stop by over there.
All right, you take care.
You too, man. Thanks.
Have a good one.
Bye bye. Brandon was gonna, I think it was Brandon, he was gonna say something, but he is hung up there. But anyway, feel free to call back. 272-9228 is the number. Mung Beans, hang on. I know you're in Discord. Hang on. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll get to you and maybe jump into the show here proper. Probably not, but we'll see.
Do we ever?
So, hey, I know. We never really ever do. This is music from Banners of Ruin. The track is called Dawn's Point. We will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Atom RPG Trudegrade Action? I don't know. It's a weird title. But I was looking for music and I found it, and there you go. I have no idea what the game's about. It says Atom RPG, so obviously it's an RPG. I suppose. I don't know. I do not know. Let's see. Mung Beans is in Discord there. Are you there? Oh, say again. There you are. Can you hear us?
How's it going?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. Probably got a weird accent because I'm all the way in middle New Zealand.
What time is it there?
It's just in the morning around 9:30 a.m.
Wow. Okay, cool. Well, what's been going on? I haven't heard from you in a long time, man.
Yeah, it's been a while. Used to do the email stuff and always try to, you know, put in some interesting questions for you guys to have a discussion about. Mm-hmm. Kind of have something as well that I thought I might pass it on to you guys and see what you think.
Sure, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
So I have regular chats like you guys with my friends about video games, and he brought up a very interesting thing about the death of consoles. And I thought about that and I was like, that's very interesting, because I personally feel that it is slowly leaning towards that, and the fact that most console games today are available digitally on your PC. There's very little exclusive console games, by the exception of Nintendo, and it just feels like we may not see another PS6 or a PS7 or PS8 anytime in the future, potentially.
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not necessarily sure that the console will die, but I'm curious as the means of delivery may change. Obviously, the more that technology improves, you know, PC gamers have no problem. You know, you build a machine and then you upgrade parts as you need to. Mm-hmm. When consoles become modular like that, if they ever do, and they might, somebody might come up with it like, here, and if they just called it the Xbox. All right, it's an Xbox. Here's the, do you want the Xbox, the base system? Sure. Boom, there you go. Hey, do you want the Xbox Enhanced? Well, here you go. You buy that, and it goes into your base system and improves it. And then a year later or 2 years out down the line or 5 years down the line, hey, it's an upgrade to the base, you know, that sort of thing. So you still have your base and you're just buying these little upgrades, whatever they may be, something like that. I don't know. If they ever become modular, sure. Otherwise, if they never go that route, and then again, they may not, depends on, they're going to go where the money is, not necessarily where the convenience to the consumer is.
Exactly.
So
it's true. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So as long as they're building these boxes that they really can't do anything to, they can't upgrade with, you know, they can't put a new graphics card in the thing. They can't put a new processor in the thing. They can send down updates to improve little things here and there, but it's never going to be anything that's like a, and I don't want to say a generational leap, but you know what I mean. It
would,
you know, nothing, they can't do anything to an Xbox One to make it an Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
They can't do anything to a PS4 to make it a PS5.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as they're releasing things that are conformed to that, that are confined to that, not conformed, but confined to just that, we're going to continue to get consoles, especially the longer, the more that people just continue to buy them. So I don't necessarily know that the death of consoles will die. And again, like you pointed out, Nintendo is not really releasing anything on any other systems. It's on a Nintendo system. You can't go out and buy... What was that? You can't go out and buy, Mario Odyssey...
Yeah.
On PC.
Yeah, you can't, yeah.
You know, you can't buy Breath of the Wild on PC. Man, I wish you could.
Bayonetta. In my case, Bayonetta.
Bayonetta is still stuck on
that
console.
That's right,
So, you don't have those things. As long as they keep doing that, I don't think that you're going to see consoles go away.
Mm-hmm.
You might see improvements on consoles. You might see, Steam Deck recently said, okay, we'll take your PC and we'll put it in a handheld form.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take your Xbox and we'll continue to release it as a console, but we're going to take the Nintendo route or the Steam Deck route and make it where you can dock it and get this, or you can make it portable if you would like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And these innovations, I have no idea how far down the line they would be if they were done at all. But I don't know. I don't think it's going to die. I think the exclusives might die somewhat. Your mainline properties that are owned by, like, again, go back to Nintendo, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft will always have Halo, but they release that on PC, so it's not necessarily an exclusive.
Yeah, technically, you've got access to it if you're a console guy like me. Technically, I've got access because I've got a PC that can handle it. So if push comes to shove and I really want to play it, I can always go to PC.
That's the other thing, and it's been a while since I've really kind of gauged the zeitgeist of the consumer, really. But I think people are still not necessarily afraid of PCs, but consoles are just like, yeah, that's my system because that's where it's played on and that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going to play.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about buying parts or anything like that. It's
the convenience
sort
of it all, because this whole video card debacle that people are going through and shortages and things like that.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll think about
that's it. True.
So, yeah, the convenience of having that console there. And as always, in my opinion, always as long as the titles are there, you know, if the console, the system really has always been secular to me. What games do you have on it? You can have the best-looking console in the world, but if you ain't got the titles to push it, what's the point?
Well, look at you. Let's look at you, for instance.
Yeah.
You've got consoles and a PC.
Yeah.
But you typically buy your games on console more than you would PC.
Yeah.
Because?
What I'm used to and what I've always done, and... I really haven't been not really a PC gamer, unless it's been something that's exclusive to PC or something that'll get me into it, like playing with you and the crew back in the day when we were playing City of Heroes.
I joined in on you for some Destiny earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, but so you were somewhere on Earth, I think, doing something.
Yeah.
And I joined in and I loaded in, but I was way back at the beginning of wherever you were.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a point where I couldn't pass. There was a wall that I couldn't go past.
Mm-hmm.
There was a barrier up and I couldn't get through it. And I sent a message to the fire team, you and me, and I said, there's a wall here. I can't get through it. I'm going to back out.
Hmm.
And when I backed out, I went to look at you again and you had already signed off. So maybe that was the reason. I may have joined you while you were exiting the game.
I didn't get a message. I didn't see a message.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, I've always been a console player. This is what I've always done. That's my first and foremost thing. It's easy for me to get into and use and whatnot. Keyboard and mouse. I've never been good with. I've always got a controller to put on there to play that way.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a lot of difficulty in setting things up for that controller to work on. Now, nowadays, it's pretty simple. It's just plug and play now at this point. You just get a, like you get an Xbox controller, plug it in Windows, bam, it's already there. It's already set up for you.
Yeah.
So it's easy. It's even much easier to do. So before that, I was like trying to figure out this program. Does this work? Does that work? Does this macro work? How do macros work? I didn't know what I was doing.
I've looked them up every now and again, and I still can't figure it out, so I don't bother with them.
Yeah, so, the inconvenience, really, of doing it that way kind of pushed me away, but now it's easier now,
mm-hmm.
so I'm more likely to go into it that way. But back then, no.
Yeah.
I was thinking about all the hassle I had to go through to set it up. So.
I still got to believe that the market leans more heavier towards consoles than it does PCs for mm-hmm. gaming.
The thing is, I feel like it's I don't think in terms of like a entertainment unit being at home is going to be gone, because if you look at what's available in Xbox these days, they have this kind of on live version. Not sure if you guys remember the on live days.
I do. I still have mine. It's not plugged up to anything, but I still have the device.
That thing should be worth a lot of money now, since it's a historical artifact.
Right. It did nothing at all. It was interesting. It was great for, it broke some ground as far as, oh, this actually can, this can work.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the best, but it was like, oh, this can work. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Show the potential of down the line of what it could be.
Yeah, because, it's like, I feel like in the future you would buy something like a box, a Sony box or an Xbox. And you probably don't need to buy any more consoles, because you would stream everything online. Because I think that's what you can do with the Xbox streaming service.
You have the option, yeah.
I haven't tried it myself.
I've tried it. I tried it with a game called The Pedestrian. It's a little puzzle game. It didn't really require a lot of graphical hardware.
Not graphical heavy.
Yeah.
Not a resource heavy game. Yeah.
No.
Not like a AAA title would be.
And so it was great to just immediately jump in. I didn't have to wait for a download and anything else. I just jumped right in. The problem was that I don't have a bad internet connection at all, but mm-hmm. it was still not ideal. It was good. It was there, and I was just trying it out, and I was impressed with what I saw, but at the same time, I also had the option to download it and play it, and having that option for me was like, okay, this is cool. I like this, but if I just download it, I'll get rid of some of the artifacting and everything else that's going on with mm-hmm. with doing the stream on this thing. There was no real lag, but it wasn't the best looking at times. You get some blurry motion and some other stuff going on. So, yeah it wasn't quite there,
mm-hmm.
but
okay.
it can get there. And there, yeah. it's probably is there for a few people who are on, fiber connections and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, at least I would hope so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you wouldn't be playing anything competitive with that thing, would you?
Oh, definitely not.
Probably not.
Definitely not.
You see. Fighting games.
I've been to tournaments and online tournaments due to COVID and whatnot, and nothing more infuriating than having your timing thrown off because of a little hiccup, in the stream, and all of a sudden that bread and butter combo you did, suddenly it's off and you missed it.
Mm-hmm.
You left yourself vulnerable. Yeah.
So, in
a competitive sense, no, absolutely not.
Well, see, I think the Steam Deck, I think you can stream games from your PC to the Steam Deck
mm-hmm.
over your network at home. And I have no idea how that works. I didn't pick up a Steam Deck. So, I don't know how good that is or how that works. You have to ask Matt next time he's on the show
mm-hmm.
To see if he's done
that. How is the fighting game genre these days? Because I know the latest Street Fighter is coming out, but that's been a long time waiting.
Give that to you, RJ. How's the fighting scene going?
You got EVO's coming up this August. You know, folks are still clamoring for the fighting game scene. I think what's been going on now, they've been making titles that are more easy to get into in terms of like control and whatnot, making it really
next weekend is EVO.
Yeah.
Ooh, starts on Friday.
Yeah, they're making it really easy for beginners to get into, so that the more casual fan can get into the fighting game genre. That's what they've been doing lately, and a lot of people are older players are like, why are you dumbing it down, making it easy, things like that. Well, they're doing it so they can get more people into it, and with Street Fighter VI, they're doing both both systems. I think it's going to be, there's going to be a simpler mode, and there's going to be the classic mode that everyone's been playing for 20, 30 years. If there's anything, I think what they're going to do is they're going to have the easier mode, maybe not as damaging as the traditional mode.
Mm-hmm.
That's the lack of reward, so lack of benefit to try to play it traditionally, but you can still have fun with it, playing it the simple, toned down way. And I think like a DNF duel, there was one like that. There was a very simple, easy to get into game, but you can do some very, very, very damaging combos. Like you chain things back and forth again. It makes the game fun. But in a competitive sense, yeah, in a competitive sense, you're going to get some folks who get a touch of death. They call it. You hit one time, and that's pretty much it. If they're skilled enough, they can hit you one time and keep that chain going until your lifeline is gone, and that's it.
Gosh.
Yeah, but it's healthy and hearty. I mean, it's still going. It's still popular and everything else. They're just making new innovations here and there, and yeah, I think it's going to be fine. And of course, you're going to see it at Evo.
Yeah, this Evo. Weekend.
They're going to be streaming that. So
yeah, the fighting game stuff. That you're going to get bombarded with that next week. So,
yeah.
Because there'll be talk of that. And then, of course, and because they're doing it live again now, right? They're doing it actually in person this year?
At the place, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because they didn't do that last year or the year before, right?
No. Mm-mm.
It was all virtual tournament.
Virtual, yeah. That's what to talk about the internet.
Which was tough to do.
Like
and
that,
I
yeah.
also wasn't into it because you had no crowd. There was nothing.
No, yeah,
you didn't
no,
get
yeah.
that. Yeah.
No, there's a difference between playing the final round that determines the winner of this match, and you got a crowd behind you, hyped up behind you,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to sitting in an isolated location doing that. It's just the pressure isn't there, but
yeah.
not as increased as it could be. I mean, being able to perform under those circumstances,
yeah. I know. Yeah,
makes a big difference. It's
yeah,
like
it
when they did wrestling without the crowd, and it was just like kind of blank.
Yeah.
Ambient sound in the back.
I think
it was a bit weird.
Yeah, it was so strange.
The best example I have of that, there was a incident in Baltimore years back, but the Orioles were playing that day, so the Oriole Park was empty, but there was two teams were still playing the game in an empty park, and the commentators, it sounded like golf commentary at a baseball game. That was just that just got to me so many ways. That's the one thing that stuck out to me. Empty stadium and golf commentary at a baseball game. Yeah, that was that's something. There's a difference when the crowd is there and when the crowd isn't. Definitely is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I just this is probably way off topic, but I was watching a documentary about Michael Jordan and how he gets heckled on the court side by courtside seat viewers,
mm-hmm.
and it's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's part of competition. Can you handle that type of pressure? And a lot of people lately they try to dissuade that, and some people can handle it, some folks can't. I mean, trash talking is part of competition. If you can't handle that, I don't know how far you're going to go if you can't handle that, at least.
What have you what have you been playing recently, by the way?
I'm one of those people that just keep jumping from one thing to another.
That's perfectly fine. Yeah. What have you? Name some titles you've been through?
Initially, I got really deep into Elden Ring. Like,
of
really
course.
Deep.
Yeah.
That game's on just design, game levels, and everything is just like the way it introduced new players into and getting people. That was just amazing. And then right now, I kind of take a step back, and I've been playing Tank Simulator Mechanic.
Tank Simulator? Wait, what is that? Is that an actual game called Tank Simulator Mechanic, or is it just you playing support on some other team?
No, you're an actual tank mechanic. So you, and it's a simulator, like those simulator games, mm-hmm. where you dig up old rusty tanks, you bring it back to your garage, you sand it down, you clean it up, you buy parts to replace, and you prime the paint, and you paint it over, and you sell it off.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I see it on Steam now. Tank Mechanic Simulator. Renovate and build tanks, yeah.
By the way, if you've got an Epic Games account this week, Lawnmower Simulator is the free game for this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Are we officially at the point where anything could be a simulator nowadays?
Dude, you know what the biggest thing on Steam was for the last couple of weeks? Power Washing Simulator.
Okay, fun with the power washer. Yeah.
Yes, it was. It got a lot of people playing it.
You ever used a power washer?
I have. Yeah, wrote my name on the concrete. Dad got real mad.
So you see why the fun of having a power simulator without the anger of your parents. There you go.
Yeah, they were like, okay, well now you need to do the rest because we want to leave your name on the concrete there. Don't do that. You know, they would tell me don't put designs, this stuff. You go up, you go down, you do this, and then I had to do the concrete outside. I had to do the privacy fence, and what else? The driveway.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do that back when I was younger.
Yeah.
I couldn't have fun with it. I had to do the whole proper way you had to do it, and I didn't like it.
Well, yeah. Do you have the game?
No, I don't have power. No, I do not have power.
You should.
No. I didn't like cutting my grass. I still don't like doing yard work today.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I trimmed hedges yesterday and didn't like it.
Think of doing it without the blood and sweat. That's it. You just cut the grass, but you don't worry. And you can save and reload if you want to.
The lawn mowing sim and the power... The lawn mower simulator was on Game Pass, and I tried it out.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't really enjoy it, much like I don't enjoy regular yard work. Power washing simulator apparently is on Game Pass as well, so maybe I'll check that out and see what all the hoopla is. Probably won't like it either.
You'll love it.
Yeah, the simulator things, car mechanic simulator I actually tried out. It was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think I played that on Steam or something, but that was I kind of like that. It was actually teaching me about the car more than anything else.
But yeah.
I don't care to learn about cutting grass or power washing, but to know more about my car so that I know what I'm doing with it, sure, that's fine. And I can learn it while I'm doing a video game? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Well, of course, the best simulator of all, Flight Simulator.
Oh, Flight Sim, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
So there's a simulator for you right there.
Still not downloading anything on my PC, though, for the Xbox thing. I read some more horror stories about that. I also read more stories about, hey, nothing's happened to me so far, but now something has started to happen to me, and I've gotten rid of it. I'm not going to tempt that thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it. The PC, the game, the whatever it is, games for Windows, PC thing.
Still putting that file on there.
They're having a problem, yeah. It's still not fixed, you know, and it's still random where it might happen to you, it might not. And if it doesn't happen to you, it doesn't mean it won't later on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just, not big on it.
I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with the Game Pass thing.
On PC or on console?
On PC.
Yeah, PC maybe. Console, I actually really love it. And I've got an article here talking about how PlayStation Plus might actually be better than Game Pass. I have not read the article. I was going to look it over and see. But yeah, I'm still holding out, by the way, on my PlayStation Plus thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bank some more years on my service before I jump over to the higher tiers.
Yeah, I ain't got a choice. Mine goes out in August, so I'm gonna have to re-up anyway.
Next month, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, which starts Monday, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, man, I appreciate you jumping in on the Discord there. You sound great on the air with us. I don't think you ever called in back when we were doing the show as the big group that we had. I know you sent emails and stuff, and it probably cost a fortune to call in for... Mm-hmm. From New Zealand, but Discord is amazing.
Yep.
So
yeah.
International calls sound better than local.
How did you find us on Discord? Were you just listening to the show, I guess?
Oh, I've been listening to the show, and then I think I found it through your website that you guys had a Discord.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I thought I'd add it. Seems to be the way things go these days, you know, with Discord.
It is. I really enjoy it.
The phone quality, at least.
Phone quality is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds... I encourage everybody, if you're going to call in, but you have access to Discord and can do that, go Discord, man. Mm. Sounds much better. So
yeah. I would go bankrupt if I used the number, so.
Well, man, it's great hearing from you. Great talking to you, and good morning in New Zealand. It's what, Sunday morning over there? Okay. Well, have a fantastic day, and thanks for talking to us, man.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you guys for letting me have a little chat.
Oh, wonderful. Feel free to do it next weekend with us if you'd like to. We're about to hit the top of the hour here, which is why we're about to go to break. So if you want to stay in, you are more than welcome to and continue the conversation with us. You can. That's perfectly fine. So if you would like to do that, just hang tight. And if not, we'll talk to you later. All right, he's going to hold on. We are going to be back with more of In-Game Chat here in just a minute. We have music here from a game called Sapiens. What I found out was that Sapiens apparently was something released a very, very long time ago, decades and decades ago. Mm-hmm. But apparently it, I don't want to say it got a reboot because there was nothing about a reboot, but somebody made another game called Sapiens, and this would be the main theme for it. We will be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called MudRunners. Never thought to look for music from the MudRunners. Spin Tires, whatever the name of the company is. It was Spin Tires, and then they did MudRunners. And then I did think they did something with snow or something like that. I can't remember. So, yeah. Welcome back to the show. We haven't even talked about what we've been playing. I mean, you can skip me, but you go ahead. What have you been playing, RJ?
I looked up Grand Theft Auto Online. They had the new the Criminal Enterprises update that came out. And it doesn't look like anything's changed. It's just what it looks like is just a bunch of little things added on to the existing criminal things you can do in the game already.
Yeah.
Maybe more ways to make a little cash on the side, things of that nature. So nothing really major to me anyway. I think they said something about some new characters or whatnot in there, but they're involved with businesses that I don't have any I didn't invest in yet, so I missed out on that. I'll probably just look up on YouTube or look up some Reddit posts and see what's going on there. But for the most part, I've been doing mostly some spring cleaning in Destiny 2.
Uh-huh.
The fact that all the legacy items that I've had over the years are no longer upgradable. I've just had to let it go. I just had to put it in storage and just keep it for nostalgia. So the grind of finding new weapons to use and upgrade to my liking has started all over again. So I did a lot of cleaning out of old weapons that I won't be able to use anymore, getting rid of those, at least getting the shards from them, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I've also decided to stop playing with as a hunter or a warlock. I mean, I've been a Titan from the get-go. And that's the class that I use. So I'm just going to focus on that, because trying to split the focus between three different classes over and over and over again,
yeah,
I'm thinking it's just going to take away from what I could do with my Titan. So I'm just going to focus on that from now on. I did find one scout rifle, at least for the time being, that's going to be my main weapon.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it doesn't have the range that my Song of Justice had, but you need power in this game. So I think it was like 1480 right now, using that instead of the 1350 that is maxed out on my Song of Justice.
Yeah.
It basically forces the issue. I have to use another weapon.
I know you don't want to. You don't want to.
But that's
you will, though. What you will do, you will find weapons that that work. You know, I mean, you'll find ones that you fall in love with again.
I'm going to find something that works, but it's a tough act to follow. I mean, that range of being able to shoot clear across a map effectively. I mean, a scout rifle that works almost like a sniper rifle. I mean, in terms of range and impact, I mean, goodness, that's a tough act to follow. I mean, but there's plenty of weapons out there for me to pick up and try and see if I can get something close to what I had back in the day.
Yeah, I'm pulling up my Destiny Item Manager. Mm-hmm. What was the... Well, let it load first, because I can't... I got to let it load into... What was the... Do you remember the name of the gun?
The one that I picked up?
Uh-huh.
It was from... I know it was from the manufacturer of my Hacky. Start with the P. Plitus D.
Maybe I know what that is. Hang on.
Yeah, it looked like... looked like one of the ones from...
was it an elemental gun, or was it your...
It had stasis. But it was
okay, so it would have been...
It wasn't my primary, but it had stasis energy.
Yeah, there's Tears of Contrition. That's not going to be it. Syncopation, that's not it. We're talking Scout.
I kept getting syncopations over and over
again. Is it
again.
The Percy's D?
Hacky?
Manufactured?
I think that may be it.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has that rectangular muzzle brake?
I can't tell.
Can't see it?
Not with what I'm looking at here, I can't tell.
Yeah, but if we're talking about the same weapon, that's the one I've got as a main right now. Fortunately, it had the same perk that Nameless Midnight had back in the day that Greg, everyone was raving about, the explosive payload. I've got that at least. So it's stasis with explosive payload with decent range. I think the range is like 80. Around that area, 80.
That's good. Now, so, you can masterwork that.
Yeah, I can masterwork that.
That'll increase it. Well, I don't know if the range is the masterwork.
It
I don't know.
The masterwork. See, range was a luck of the draw range masterwork on my Song of Justice, but on this one, I think it might be, it could be one of any five, actually.
See, mine now is sitting with explosive payload and compulsive reloader. It has a range masterwork. The range is 98.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too shy of max range.
Yeah.
On that one.
So, but then again, I could just re-roll the masterwork if it didn't go where I want to, couldn't I?
You can try and get something. You can't re-roll. No, you can't change the masterwork on it. You have to farm, and maybe it drops with the one that has range masterwork on it. Mm. Yeah, whatever the masterwork is, you can't re-roll that. The one you should look for is the Staccato 46.
Is that from Suros?
It's a Suros, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of those things. No.
That's nice. I got triple tap and explosive payload on it, and it's really good. Stability is the masterwork on it. Range isn't great, but with explosive payload, it gets the job done, basically.
Yeah.
Because it hits and then explodes.
I've seen it, but I'm like, no.
Is that a foot? No, it's a scout. Yeah, that's a scout.
Yeah.
Now that's the one I'm really enjoying, that scout rifle. Lately, I've had to use it. It's solar and it works for the builds.
For my energy use, I'm still using the hard light. Hard light, since it's an exotic, it still can be leveled up. So if I need a solar arc or void, mm-hmm. I got it right there in my hands. And what the problem? One thing is now with stasis. I've got to find something that shoots stasis, and luckily, the scout rifle I got now, it uses stasis. So,
well, I'm almost positive everything that shows up in your the energy slot, there is no stasis. Mm-hmm. It's going to be in your kinetic, your primary.
Yeah, the kinetic. Yeah,
they have stasis on those, and your heavies have stasis. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything in your energy or whatever that's called. Is that energy? Yeah. I don't think anything there actually has stasis. It's going to be void, solar, or arc. Maybe that changes come next season. I don't know.
It's not an energy weapon. It's a kinetic primary, but it's got, for some reason, it got mm-hmm. Stasis listing on there. I don't know why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Skyburner's Oath is another good... that's an exotic, but it's another good scout rifle.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, the scout rifle can't be an exotic because hard light's not going anywhere.
that's fine. Run with it. That's exactly what you need to do. Just
I've been running with it for this long. Stopping now.
Keep going with it if you want to. But for your build and everything else, you're going to eventually find something that you can switch out between. You know, hey, you need to have void kills? Well, then you've got this really great void weapon. Or you need to have arc kills? I know.
The only problem, like I said, the only problem is coming when stasis comes in.
Well, the thing about Hardlight is, so let's say I need to get, and this is more for a Destiny talk than it is anything else. But with some of the perks, Hardlight does not have perks like explosive payload or chain reaction or something like that. What's the other one? Dragonfly, triple tap. Hardlight has Hardlight has the perk of you being able to switch the elements.
That's
that
the perk
you want to use.
That's the perk.
That's what it's got. Yeah. But if I needed to get ever how many solar kills with, you know, an energy weapon, which is where Hardlight sits,
mm-hmm.
I can get a much faster using something that has incendiary, which, like, when you kill one of the enemies, they explode, and then those around that enemy also explode, and those count as kills. Mm-hmm. And it's a good add clear type thing. It's a good way to clear crowd control type mm-hmm. thing, which you don't have with Hardlight.
Mm-hmm.
Hardlight, I know it gets the job done because it covers it covers all of your full spectrum of things. And I'm not saying don't stop using it. I'm just saying to be open to the idea of trying something else to see if you may come to like it or it fits in with what you like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, submachine gun with void, a funnel web, wonderful. It's the output is amazing. The Callus mini tool that we have now, that's just, it's great. The Arc 3.0 that's coming next season.
Mm-hmm.
You might switch off of your Hardlight and go to Risk Runner, which is another exotic, but it's an arc exotic and it's a submachine gun, and it, you know, it heals you.
I've had it before.
Yeah, I think you. I was going to say, I think that was in a season where you had that.
I've had it before. I tried it, and it was like, meh.
It comes in handy when you're getting arc stuff thrown at you, because
mm-hmm.
if you get hit with arc damage, it basically gives you almost an infinite feed of bullets until that timer runs out of the effect that it has on you,
mm-hmm.
because you never have to reload. Mm-hmm. And since you don't have primary ammo is an infinite thing now,
yeah.
you don't have to pick up bricks of primary anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's just a hose. It's just a hose of bullets, man.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So I'm just saying, when you try the weapons that you get, mm-hmm. you might find something you really like. Even though it's not the Hardlight thing, you might find something you really like when you get there, when you're comfortable with it. You should be able to play any way that you want to play. Bungie's not good at that because you're already having to not play the way you want to because your weapons can't be upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having to play with new weapons that you're not used to.
Yeah.
But you'll get there. You'll get there. Just keep going through it. I'll keep looking for you. My season is... I finished up this week. Earlier this week, I finished up all that I got to do.
I'm done. 100? You're at 100?
I'm at 100 something. I don't know. I'm way beyond the...
I thought the season maxed out at 100.
The season rewards max out at 100.
Okay, yeah.
But you continue to move on mm-hmm. as you level up.
Yeah.
So I'm at like 100... hang on. I had Dim open... I could tell you what I am. I'm like 100 and something. But I finished up the season. Solstice is complete. I've done everything there. And I've done everything on the challenges, everything on the season pass. It's all done. What am I at? Really? I thought this would tell me. It does not tell me.
Hmm.
In Dim. It probably does somewhere. I just don't know where.
Yeah.
I'm probably looking at the wrong... in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So yeah, that keeps going, and I'm right now. What I'm doing is I'm banking bounties. In other words, I'm going through and I'm doing a bunch of stuff and completing bounties, but I'm not like clicking them to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait until the season rolls over and then I'll do that, and it'll increase my XP
mm-hmm.
Early on in the next season. So bounty hoarding—that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, the thing about the weapons thing is that, you know, games like this, or like I play in Elden Ring or Dark Souls, you know, I get a weapon, I'm set on it.
I know.
And so I want to get the familiarity of that weapon to a T.
It happens with me every season.
Yeah.
Because right now my go-to weapons are my hand cannon and my Kallus mini tool, both of which I have crafted and set them to the way that I like, and I just keep going with them. But when the next season starts and they're focused on arc, that won't be the play anymore. It'll be, you'll have to find whatever the new meta is for the season. And it changes, you know, it changes out. It just, out with the old, in with the new type of thing. And then a couple seasons down the line, the old becomes new again, you know. Kallus Mini Tool was something they released way back in, during, you know, the early days of Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the guns you got from, oh God, I can't remember what it was called, but one of the seasons that they had earlier. And then they sunsetted the thing, so you couldn't do anything with it. And then when Season of the Haunted rolls around, oh, look, Kallus Mini Tool's back. So there you go. It's got new perks that the old one didn't have, and so that's what you use. Mine has incendiary, so, you know, shoot them, they blow up, everybody else catches on fire, and I shoot them, and they blow up, and everybody else catches on fire. It's a nice little crowd control type weapon. When you get the right rolls, the right perks, and that sort of thing. So, anything, well, Elden Ring, Destiny, anything else? Fighting games, I guess.
That's pretty much it.
You gonna jump into Multiversus is free to play. Are you gonna give that a look?
No, that's a Smash style game. I've never
been into
the Smash style.
I didn't think
Smash
so.
Brothers style of play. So no,
because yeah, I'm sure I brought it up a few times here, and you've said the same thing.
I recall you bringing it up one time, but it was like, no, I've never been into Smash. So
yeah,
no.
Well, I figure with the free to play, you might give it a shot, but yeah,
no,
that's fine. And the fact that it's all over every system, so it's not like with Smash, you have to have a.
I mean, it's there. It's there. I get it, but yeah. Just not my thing.
Yeah, perfectly fine. So yeah, I've been doing Destiny, and I am looking into probably picking up No Man's Sky. The sale ends, I believe, on August 1st. Right now it's $30, and that's the one I think I'm probably going to jump into next, is to mess around some with that. Maybe, I don't know. I've got time now to just play anything that I want to. So maybe I do play something else. Maybe I build Legos. I don't know. But I got the time to worry about it now.
Yeah.
Where I woke up this morning, and my usual Saturday morning routine is get up, get on the elliptical, get a shower, sit in front of Destiny and grind. Didn't do that this morning. About 10 o'clock, I finally launched Destiny, and about 10 o'clock, I opened up my app on the phone. I looked at the bounties and said, what can I do to start banking stuff? And I started doing it. And it was... it was an interesting feeling to jump in there and not feel like, okay, I got to finish this, got to do this, got to finish. Didn't have any of that pressure. It was nice. So this will be a nice little month that I get to where I don't have to worry about it. And we'll see how next season goes. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, they've mentioned that the next raid is going to be a former raid. They have not given the name of it. But just like they pulled out Vault of Glass, they're going to go back to the well and pull something else from the past into for the next raid next season. August the 26th, I think. Let me look at a calendar. August the 23rd. That's June. Yeah, August the 23rd is a Tuesday, and I believe that's when the next season launches. That is also the day they're doing a showcase for the next expansion that will come out next year, 2023. Lightfall, I think, is that one? Yeah, Lightfall is the name of that expansion.
Yeah, that sounds ominous.
I know, right? Well, that's okay, because after that one, they have one more, and that's called The Final Shape. So we'll see. Anyway, Lightfall will release next year. They're going to have a showcase on the 23rd. That's also when the new season launches. That Friday on the 26th, is when that raid will go live for the very first day. Noon our time. I might take half a day. I've never made an attempt at a day one raid. I've never been close enough to do it. I've never been power-wise. I've just never been there. I've had fun watching people go through it, but I've never been able to participate in a day one raid for Destiny. Whether the fact that they've released it on a Saturday and I've had to do the show or whatever, or they've released it in the middle of the week, I've had to do work, never. They're releasing it on a Friday. I figure I can probably do a half day because it won't. It's 10 a.m. Pacific, so that's noon our time.
Right.
So that's fine. Sure, I can come into work. Yeah, no problem. Take care of everything that I need to take care of. Zip home. Start the raid. If this is the King's Fall raid, which a lot of people are thinking that it probably is, I'm really interested in doing it because we played that so much. I know the mechanics will be different because nothing is, you know, things change.
Yeah.
But I think that's the one I would like to make the attempt on. We're familiar with it. Obviously, it's going to change, but we're mostly familiar with that one. So I'm banking my bounties now so that I can at least bump my level up some. 1560 is the entry point to do the raid. Challenge mode will be enabled, which means it doesn't matter if you're 1570, whatever. It doesn't matter what you are. If you go in at 1560, because that's where you can go in, everything is going to be 20 levels higher than you. And that's all. That's regardless. So if you jump in at 15, your power level is 1570, the game's going to knock you down to 1560, and then it's going to knock all the enemies up 20 levels above. Keep in mind that if you run a Grandmaster Nightfall, that's 25 levels higher than you. So this is not something that isn't, you know, it's not, it can be done.
Yeah. But shots are going to hurt.
Shots are going to hurt. You're going to have to play very, very conservatively. Not go in guns blazing like I normally do now because, you know, I'm so overpowered or whatever. I won't know, you know, I'm not sure how the whole situation of what the mods are going to be and how those are going to work and how it's going to, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of why I'm banking what I'm doing and just, yeah. But I might do it. I might not. I really haven't made a decision just yet on that. It's probably the closest point that I would ever have to make the attempt. In all my years of playing, this is probably the best attempt I will ever have at doing a day one raid. It's a familiar raid. I mean, if it was brand new, I wouldn't know what to do. We'd all be in there busting our heads. And we'll probably still be busting our heads trying to figure out the new mechanics.
Yeah.
But a lot of it will be familiar. Plus, because it is a familiar raid, in order to win the world's first title, which is not something I'm going after, I'm just going after completing it within the first 24 hours. But to do the world's first and to do the completion within the first 24 hours, and because it's so familiar to a lot of players, you have to beat it once, and then you have to go through and beat it again with challenges enabled. And so they're making you complete it twice to get the full run because it is a familiar raid. They haven't said that it's King's Fall. I hope it is.
But what hints have y'all the community gotten that it could be King's Fall?
The hints are that it's amazingly popular. King's Fall is just a huge popular raid from way back when. It's been really requested. The Witch Queen expansion that we had for this entire year is, it's Oryx's sister, the guy that we killed.
Yeah.
I think it's his sister.
I think it is. I think I did a Vanguard mission that took place in there. Some dude kept talking about his sister or something like that. I haven't even touched the Witch Queen part yet. I mean, I got the expansion, but I never touched it yet. I'm still doing things on Europa for the one before that, Darkness or whatever the thing is. The one that introduced Stasis, anyway. I forget the name of it. But
I think it was Beyond Light.
Beyond Light?
Yeah, I think so.
Beyond Light? Okay, yeah. But I did a Vanguard mission in the Witch Queen universe, and I haven't even started that thing yet. So there's characters talking that I don't even know about, and areas and statuses that I'm just getting the first time. Yeah,
but, I know.
But because I was trying to build up stuff for a bounty, I had to go through it. Just play Vanguard missions four times in a row and just happened to be there.
Well, I saw you on this morning, I think, too. I think I saw you on this morning.
Cleaning up and getting rid of stuff.
So, if I'm ever on and I see you on, I will jump in with you, man.
If you let them send a message out, let me know. I don't know how how looks the receiving message? Does it give me a notice or something? Because I
little thing pops up on the bottom of your bottom left hand corner of your screen.
Okay,
probably. I forget you're on console, so it's not like you can type back and be like, "Yeah, I'm over here." You know, yeah. I forget you really can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing popping up on my screen is we're trying to connect to the server. That's all I'm getting on mine.
Well, next time I see you on, I'll reach out, give you a text message or something.
Okay.
And be like, hey, I'm about to jump in. You good? And, you know, talk it out through there. But, I obviously, as much as I play it, we go on and on talking about Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to take a break because this has flown by.
Yeah.
There's some stuff I wanted to get in here. Let's see, in-game chat, with stuff like Witch Queen and all the nomenclature, have you seen Lord of the Rings and those characters? Is there a lot of parallels to the Tolkien take and to stuff like D&D with naming everything? I'm not familiar with D&D and Lord of the Rings outside of the films. I never read the books.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched the films, and I'm actually interested in the Rings of Power thing coming to Amazon. But I'm not very familiar with it. I don't think so, but I can't say that for sure. Some of this feels like Shakespeare, and I don't necessarily mean that in the cultural aspect of Shakespeare. I mean that in the sense of, especially where Witch Queen is involved, because I get a King Lear vibe. Mm. From that whole situation of Hive and everything else.
Mm.
The lore is fantastic. Just not the lore in the game. The lore outside of the game. The lore that you get from people who like to translate that stuff for you and make videos about it. That stuff is fascinating and wonderful. The lore books that they have released, which you can buy on Amazon, are really, really good. So I like the mythos of this whole thing. I like the fact that all we ever hear about is this big war that happened, and I wish I could remember the name of it, but there are numerous wars that took place and numerous battles that took place long before you ever came into the game, long before we ever started playing this game. These battles took place in the history of this, story-wise, in the history of this game, and you hear about it. Destiny is, or Bungie is looking to, from what I understand, move into other ways to present this game. Animation is one of them. And if we get some sort of animated series, I would love for it to cover things that are not in the game. I would love for it to cover things that happened thousands of years before we ever got here.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for it to cover Shin Malfour, who is a hunter and a bounty hunter type person. And what the Drifter has to deal with because of him, and he had the malfeasance, the weapon. There's lore in the weapons,
yeah,
that is really, really good. And if they can shape that to be something, they pulled a lot of people who worked on that Arcane stuff that was on Netflix,
mm-hmm,
which is really, really good, and that's also very, very promising as to what they may be doing. I really, really hope that they move in that direction, because again, completely fascinated by the world building, not so much in game but outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
The game, as we progress in the game, it gives us that stuff, but there are lore hunters out there who will go and find all this pieces of information in the game, document it, and then figure out a way to translate that. So here's what's being said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you didn't see, and they pull that lore from your weapons, from your armor, from your exotics, from your stupid sparrows and ghosts, mm-hmm, from the guns, like I said, over the place.
Yeah, I remember some of the lore was like, it wasn't even about the item itself. It was just a whole conversation between two people about some random event that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, what has this got to do with the weapon? Nothing really. It's just a piece of lore.
Yeah.
That
we have lore books. There's lore books in the game now. And again, you've got to, you remember, and again, we got to jump off of the Destiny talk here, because we're doing, but you remember when we played, the expansion that had King's Fall, that had the Dreadnought, where we had,
right,
to go through.
Mm-hmm. We kept falling.
Yeah. There was the Books of Sorrow is what it was called.
Yeah.
50 of these little pieces scattered around the Dreadnought.
Mm-hmm.
50 of those things, and all of them contained lore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now when you find pieces like that, you open up a lore book in game, and you can go and do that, and you can read that stuff. But when you found these things, they were all out of order. Mm-hmm. You know, you had piece number 37, piece number 43, piece number 25, and so you were reading these things completely out of order.
Yep.
And thankfully, they did this book thing where you now they're all in order, or somebody online put them all in order so you could read them.
Right.
It was the only way you could. It's the only way you could get that.
The only
stuff.
Way you can make sense of it. Yeah.
They did a horrible way of giving that lore to you in game,
mm-hmm.
And they're still not great with it. But yeah, people are making it better for you. Other yeah. people are. So you don't have to. Enough Destiny. We're done with Destiny. I've got more to talk
today.
About. Yeah, today. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. This is a, well, it's not, I don't know what the track is, but the name of the game is called Hired Gun. Mm. I don't think it had a track. So we'll be back with more, our final segment of In-Game Chat coming up. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Legend of Keepers. This was kind of a grab bag of things that I could find. I went to Steam's list and was looking up stuff. There wasn't a lot of new games that had released that I didn't already have music for, like Stray I'd already picked up.
Isn't this like the dead period for gaming, really?
Can be at times, yeah. Usually it was. Like, you get more gaming news than you get more games during the summer, you know? Basically, and the other fact of it is that if it's a good game and you're ready to release it this summer, it's like, well, no, hold off until the fall. We can get that Christmas money in, you know,
mm-hmm.
or that last quarter money in, whatever the case may be. The other, what do we got? Saints Row, I think, is this week or next week, or is it next month?
Mm.
Saints Row, I think, is next month. It releases in August, the new reboot Saints Row thing. Which, from what I read, who was it? Digital Foundry did a thing on that because they got some time with it on the PC, and you know was putting it through the motions. And it's not bad. It you know as far as how it runs and that sort of thing. They weren't really doing a review on the game itself.
Sure, yeah,
they were doing a review on here's how the new engine holds up, and with you know if you want to play it 4K maxed out, something like that. So,
August 23rd.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's the same day the new season starts for Destiny.
Well,
that won't be what I'm playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll get around to it, I imagine. Or I'll kind of wait and see what happens, because, I'd like to see how that gets received. So far, I think it's been received very well by people who've had preview builds to play, but we'll see when it's actually in the hands of everybody else and how it works out for them. So, let's jump into stuff that we haven't been able to talk about. Let's see. Peter Moore, former Xbox executive, and a dude I got a picture of with when I went to E3 one time. Met him, ran into him in the hallways and got a picture with him.
Yeah.
Before he had left Xbox, actually, and went to work with EA. He said that his team, and I seem to remember him saying that, but he said his team would encourage the console wars, which I don't necessarily think that that was something that people discouraged. The public encouraged that.
Competition.
Media encouraged that. Because after an E3, everybody would talk about, well, who won E3? You did. The people who got to watch E3, all the consumer wins E3, because look at all the games that you're going to get, you know? So there. Who cares which corporation won E3, you know? I always hated that. And yeah, but I will say that early on, before I was paying any attention to that sort of thing and got cynical, I would sink into that whole thing of, you know, Nintendo's better than this, or Xbox better than that, or blah, blah, blah. I can remember that, and I'm going back to, like, whatever, high school days of when that would be the case. Back basically when you had a Nintendo and a Sega. And so, yeah, there were those things, but I don't know. It's fine. I get why he would encourage the console wars, because it meant money. He says it helped the industry. Saw Microsoft continue to commit to video games despite the Xbox 360's costly Red Ring of Death debacle. We encourage the console wars, said Peter Moore, not to create division, but to challenge each other. And when I say each other, I mean Microsoft and Sony. If Microsoft hadn't have stuck the course after the Xbox, after the Red Rings of Death, gaming would be a poorer place for it. And you wouldn't have the competition you have today. I don't necessarily agree that it would be poor for it, but no, competition is very, very good. You always need to have competition. Yeah. And if you don't, or if you want a great example of a product not having competition and what happens to that product, wrestling is my best example to give you.
Or I would say EA, after they got the exclusive rights from the NFL, to be the only company that can make licensed football games.
Maybe. I don't remember.
When they first got that exclusivity deal with the NFL, their first game that came out after that, a horrible release. And it was they stumbled on that one. I mean, why would they push? Because there was no competition. No one else could make an officially licensed NFL video game after that contract went through.
Didn't baseball have the same thing?
Baseball
with the show
exclusivity on
PlayStation,
on Sony. Yeah. If I'm recalling right, yeah. But I definitely remember the one with the NFL from EA.
I remember that too. I remember when that. I think I remember where that happened, because I think that stopped the NFL 2K.
It was immediately after 2K. 2K's sales cut into their anniversary edition of Madden 05, and immediately after that that sale happened, they got an exclusivity deal with the NFL. After that, after that one, because 2K1 was right at or better quality than the Madden game.
Peter Moore goes on to say, if we didn't resolve Red Rings of Death the way that we did, I know that there'd be no Xbox today, he said, referencing the Red Ring of Death. I think I had a Red Ring once.
I had a Red Ring happen at a final round.
Ooh.
They had an Xbox Elite, and that thing Red Ringed at a tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine that they encouraged it. It's whatever. It's not really, it didn't seem like a revelation or as much as I thought it would be from what I'd read. Annapurna Interactive had a showcase this week, and there was a lot that they showed off. Of course, Annapurna did the Stray game, which Thar66 says he finally finished Stray and really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Some of the games that they released, this is going to do it in paragraph form, not in bullet point. Oh, thank you, Eurogamer. game called Thirsty Suitors. This was interesting. You play as a woman who has to fight all of her exes.
So we're going Scott Pilgrim?
It's very Scott Pilgrim-esque.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that after you fight them, after at a certain point in the fight, you get pulled into their mind, I guess. It's sort of, you have to fight them inside their head. And inside their head is the representation of how that person sees themselves to everybody else. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you're basically fighting what their ego, I suppose.
Their avatar or whatever. Yeah.
Their ego. And so the world is shaped the way that they vision themselves in their head. Their characters shape the way that they envision them in their head. And the things that they're lashing out at towards you are what they thought went wrong in that relationship. And I don't know. I think it's very interesting on a narrative basis to sort of, depending on how it's written, I have no idea, but to have that sort of reflection on, hey, you know, you're playing who you think, I guess, is the good guy. You know what I'm saying? Normally we play the hero type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're fighting because we're fighting for what we think is right or what the game has instructed us as to be that way. And maybe it's not the case when you're fighting your exes once you get inside their head, because then you understand why they're doing, why they acted the way they acted or how they did, because, you know, because this is how things are, I guess, whatever the case may be. I don't know. It seemed kind of insightful, seemed kind of interesting, or a different take on whatever that was. So I'm kind of curious. There was also a game announced called Hindsight, a melancholic narrative game from a mobile game called, the developers of a mobile game called Prune. After that, we got something called The Lost Wild, which had a very Dino Crisis feel to it. Flock was another one. Don't know much about that. Let's see. A game called Uvula, which is that little thing in the back of your throat.
Mm-hmm.
It's made by the same guy who made Katamari Damacy. So, yeah. Well, yeah, it's called Uvula anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that works. Didn't he also do the one with the dog that stretched all the way to the moon and stuff? Wasn't that, whatever that was? I can't remember what that was called.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember you played as a dog, and as you like ate stuff, your body would get longer and longer and longer.
Yeah. I know the game, but I don't know what it was called, though.
I can't remember the name of it.
The Japanese games, I remember Katamari Damacy, and then I remember Incredible Panic, or I think it was called Incredible Panic or Incredible Crisis.
Not sure.
That one, yeah.
We're really just hitting some of these highlights here because we've only got about 8 minutes left in the show. Diablo Immortal is doing really well. Maybe not ratings-wise, but money-wise, this game ain't going anywhere. You know, there was a lot of complaints about it, or there was a lot of uproar about it, you know, putting Diablo on your phone and basically making it a pay-to-play or whatever the thing is that they're doing. Well, none of that's going to stop because they just passed $100 million in revenue after only 8 weeks.
Hmm.
8 weeks, $100 million in revenue. That's insane. So that is not going to stop. We got our PS Plus lineup for August. What are we getting? Yakuza Like a Dragon. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 Remake. And Little Nightmares. Which I think Little Nightmares has already been... Yeah, Nobi Nobi Boy. That's what it was. Sorry. That was a flashback. Yeah, Nobi Nobi Boy. That was it. With the little dog that stretched all the way to the moon. Actually, it wasn't that. It was everybody who was playing the game and was getting their dog to stretch or whatever it was, or their Nobi Nobi Boy to stretch. However long you would get it in a playthrough, then that would get attached to the overall thing that all the players are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So every time you did it, you contributed to the length of like all the players contributing to you know, the big nobby boy type thing. So,
yeah, like the deaths in Dark Souls.
Probably.
Yeah, there was a monument that said this: how many how many people have died playing this thing? Yeah.
Yeah. This is a very long article at VG247 talking about PlayStation Plus Premium. I don't have time to go through it all as much as I would have liked to. I'm going to post it in our chat room there on Twitch, so you guys can go just check in the check in Discord over there, see if anybody was in there. Was there anything else? Multiversus is doing very well, sort of over 100,000 players on Steam right after the open beta launch. That is in a, by the way, Multiversus is in open beta. Are we getting a storm? Might be getting a storm. Multiversus is in open beta. It is on pretty much all systems, and it will be free to play regardless when it releases. So that's a game that you can get into without having to pay anything. And from what I understand, they're doing it really, really well with how you progress in the game. There is nothing, from what I understand, there is absolutely no way for you to advance by buying your way there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything bought is cosmetic. You might get some extra stages thrown in because you bought the pass, but you will not unlock characters before anybody else. To do that, you just have to play the game. You won't, yeah, so it seems to be decent. You won't unlock power-ups from your character unless you play the game. Can't buy it. So they seem to be good on that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else do we have? For what? I don't know why, but the most affordable VR headset out there that was decent and good is getting a price increase and may already have. MetaQuest 2, whatever it is, the Oculus Quest 2, the thing Facebook owns. They've bumped it up $100. So it's gone from $300 to $400 now for the 128 gig model, and $400 to $500 now for the 256 gig model. Beginning in August. So if you can find one now, brand new, you can still get it for the less for the price of $300 or $400, depending on which one you go with. But they are ramping up the price beginning in August. So keep that in mind if you wanted a VR. That is a great VR device. The Quest is. Get the Quest 2, I mean. But it's a good VR device. And you don't need Facebook anymore to use the thing. So what else do we have? Let's see. EA is apparently going to be publishing a game, an open world Black Panther game.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea.
Open world.
I like the move set, skill set of Black Panther. Going to be agile, you know, able to latch onto walls, move around, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Jump, run, that seems like a good thing for a, what would you call it? Like a metro exploration open world type thing. So, yeah. And what else? Oh, speaking of Funko, they're going to jump into the AAA gaming market somehow. So they're going to start making games. That's fine. I'm still not going to buy your stuff because that is not a money pit I want to get down into. Although Lego and Halloween decorations seems to be a pretty deep pit as it is right now. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us for the show. We've got to go. It is over with. Thank you so much for listening, for watching, for calling in, Steve and Brandon and Chris, Mung Beans, who joined us earlier, all the way from New Zealand. Thank you guys for joining us. We do appreciate it. Thanks, everybody who listens to the show. You guys have a fantastic week and rest of your weekend as well. Join us on Discord. Join us on Steam. Join us on, I don't know, we're all over the place. So, yeah, just go to our website, ingamechat.net. Scroll all the way to the bottom, and you'll find all the ways to get in touch with us and enjoy many aspects of the show. Thanks, everybody in the chat room. I didn't do a chat room roll call. I'm going to try to do that real quick. Alexis the Nexus, Alice Sidra, A10, Batman Brian, Commander Root, Evans, G Neptune, Nabokov Fan, Nat Zelly, Omega's Innocence, Stephen Van Damme, Thar 66, and True Dalbert. Thank you guys for joining us as well. Leave you here with music from No Man's Sky called Escape Velocity. We'll see you next Saturday. Mm-hmm.